Turn your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. We're going to get started. One of the first things I want to say is I am a little concerned about many of your children. After being in the dunk tank yesterday, we're going to have a little deliverance service in the children's ministry this morning because they were way too excited about throwing balls at their pastor. So I don't know, really not sure what you guys have been telling them at home, but you need to have a talk with them, and some of you. I saw y'all light up when I got in that dunk tank. Man, y'all, you're supposed to love me. It's like, this is the one time I can tell him whenever he said that sermon, he said that thing, I'm going to get him today. I'm like, oh my gosh. A couple of y'all threw him right at the screen at the gate. I was like, thank God there was something there. Woo. All right, Romans chapter 1. We're going to get started. It says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Verse 3, it says, because of the privilege and the authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourself by the faith God has given you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that, Lord, your word never returns void. It always accomplishes what it's sent out to do. So, Lord, we thank you that your word would fall on hungry hearts this morning. Father, we pray that, Lord, that as it enters our hearts, God, that it would transform us, God, from the inside out, Lord. I pray, Lord, that people would know who they are in you, God. Lord, that they would be able to walk in a new confidence after this morning. And Lord, more than anything, I pray that you would be made more famous today than you were yesterday. Come on, and if you believe that, say amen. Amen. So I want to read this here in a moment in the Message version because I believe it brings it into a little bit different context. It kind of opens up the reality of the scripture on a little bit more personal level. It makes us kind of, it's our modern day kind of passage. And so let me go ahead and read it real quick. And this is what it says in the Message version. It says in verse 1, it says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, you're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God has for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Somebody needs to amen on that one. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognizing what he wants from you and quickly responding to it, unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. And this is the verse I want to hit on. This is the verse that I built the whole sermon around, was this one. It says, I'm not speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all that God has given me. Especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you, living then, as every one of you does in pure grace, it's important that you not misinterpret yourself as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what he does for us, not by what we are and what we do for him. Amen. And as I was reading this, God began to speak to me, and I began to think about there was a time in my life where I was a single guy, and I was built around that identity. My identity was I'm single. I'm a single guy. And then there was this moment where I got on a stage at this platform, and I said my I do's to my wife. And I remember, like, nothing had really changed other than I said I do. And I never will forget the moment that someone said, hey, where's your wife? And I thought, Yeah, you're right. I actually have a wife now. And it was this mindset that shifted the moment that someone had identified me now as a married man. And then, so now I live this identity where now I've gone from singleness to now I'm married. And now I'm being related to, like, where's your wife? And like, this is my husband. And I fall into this category where now I'm identified as this label. And then a few years later, we fast forward to now all of a sudden we find out Alicia's pregnant. And then I'm not called a father while she's pregnant. No one. And then all of a sudden, as soon as Jaylee enters the world, it's like, hey, let your dad or your father would like to. And in that moment, it was like, God, I realized that it is so easy to live by the labels and just the natural identifications that we have in our lives, whether we're single, divorced, married, teenager, college student, whatever it may be. We can so easily get wrapped up in those identities, and those identities can stop us from our potential. See, those identities can put us in this thing, and it can say, well, you can only be this until. And I want us to understand this morning that God is so much bigger, that there is this label, there is this identity that God has put on you called son and daughter of God. And in that, there is no container that can hold your destiny. There is nothing that can contain who you are. And so what my point is how long have you gone in a container being restricted? Can you throw me that bottle right there? See, this container can only hold so much water. In fact, it's 16.9 fluid ounces. They've gone down from 20 because they're trying to convince us and make us think that we're drinking 20 ounces, but we're only drinking 16.9. That's a different message. But my point is that if I want to drink 20 ounces of water, I have to have this and something else. And a lot of times what we do is we identify ourselves by this container, but God calls us sons and daughters. And so I just want us to understand that we have to allow this thing to be crushed. We have to allow this to not be what labels us. Your singleness, you're divorced, you're married, you're a dad, you're a mom, you're an aunt, you're a grandma, you're a college student, you're unemployed, you're whatever it may be. And we can so easily allow those things to identify us. And what is my point? My point is this, is that the verse 1, the whole reason it is letting you know this is it says to bring yourself to God as a living sacrifice. So what is my point? My point is this, is that you will not bring to God what you don't think is worthy to be sacrificed. You won't bring to God what you don't think is worthy. And so this is what God says in the scriptures, this is what Paul writes. He says, so dear brothers, friends, he says, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. So for us, when we think of sacrifice, when's the last time somebody sacrificed a cow, lamb, bull? Nobody? Exactly. So this, for us, is hard to put in context because it's like, when's the last time you've gone and sacrificed a cow to be right with God? The point is what he's letting us know is there were several different sacrifices that people did in those days, one being a blood sacrifice. The blood sacrifice is where he's letting us know is, you know who did the blood sacrifice for you? The blood sacrifice had to be perfect, blameless. You and I have a bunch of things in our past. You and I have a bunch of mistakes that we've made along the way. So what happens is if you have to identify as the sacrifice to be brought before God, you will never present yourself to God because you see yourself as blemished, as a mess, as a broken piece of pottery. But what you have to understand is Jesus became that sacrifice for you. He became the blood sacrifice. So now all you have to do is bring the peace offering to him and say, God, hey, thanks for being the perfect spotless lamb so that I could enter, so that I could be the sacrifice, so that I didn't have to identify myself as perfect, but I could come to you as broken as I am and real. But see, most of us, we give God the excuse, but God, I have this and and I have this mistake and I've done this. The Lord is not looking at the list. When he sees you, he sees the blood. He sees you spotless and whole. But this is the question. How do you see you? because how you see you determines what God does through you. See, you will never do the things that God's called you to do when you see yourself as broken and a mess and I can't measure up. And if I talk to this person, then the enemy's going to tell me what I did last month. And if you don't understand the blood of Jesus and this initial sacrifice, then you think that you've got to be that sacrifice when at the end of the day, Jesus paid the price for that. So now here's the other side of that is this, is a lot of times when we can present ourselves as now we're too good to be a sacrifice. And that's where Jesus, that's where Paul writes, and he hits verse 3. You shouldn't think more highly of yourself than you ought. And what is he saying? He's saying there is no excuse for you to not be a living sacrifice. He's saying it doesn't matter where you find yourself in the role, whether you're a CEO of a Fortune 500 company, you're not too good to be a sacrifice. If you're still homeless and broken and still trying to get out of the mess you're in, you're still not too bad to be a living sacrifice. That's good news, church, because that means we can all have an identity in Christ and we can all walk in this way that Jesus has for us. Right? So what's my point? My point is this, is that you won't give God what you think he sees as worthless. You will never give to God what you see as worthless because you think if I give myself to God, what's the point? Because he's going to throw it away. All my friends have done that to me. Oh, it's quiet in this church now. I mean, the last time I trusted somebody else, they failed me. And so we limit our ability to give ourselves to God based on what has happened to us. We identify ourselves by that. See, offering yourself shows these two things. It shows, hey, I've realized where I'm at, so I'm willing to go. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how great I've become, I'm willing to give myself to God. And so I think it's so important for us to understand that no matter where you're at in this sanctuary this morning, there are different identities, identity crisis, all the different markings that we have on our lives. But every one of us are equal in the blood of Jesus. That we are all identified as sons and daughters. And it's so important to know that because it should give us confidence to know, Hebrews, that we can go before the throne of God. And if there's anything that I would like to see happen out of this sermon was that you have confidence now to go to God where you didn't before. Where you once were, God, I don't even know how to pray. You know what? Jaylee never, she didn't know how to talk for a long time. Now, Lord Jesus, you know it. Yeah, if you know her, she likes to talk a little bit. She took after her mom. But anyway, she come to get me. But this is the point is that we can come up with excuses all day long, but you never get to know who you are until you spend time with your Father. The more that you begin to spend time with your Father, the more that you begin to spend time in the as a living sacrifice, you begin to see who you are. Now, a lot of us, we think we know who we are. And I received Jesus, and but don't fool yourself, because when's the last time that you allowed the voice of the enemy to lead and guide you because you didn't know who you were? It's super quiet in here again. Right? Because at the end of the day, we are all susceptible to the voice of the enemy if we don't know who we are. We all fall prey to the voice of the enemy that says, you're not worthy to even come to church on Sunday. People are going to look at you and they're going to say, why are you sitting next to me? You stink. You whatever. And we will allow the enemy to identify us and label us. And what that does is it restricts us from being what God has called us to be. People need you to know who you are. The broken world and society, they need to know who you are, which leads me to verse 2. It says, do not be conformed, but be what? Transformed. Those are two different words. Don't get that twisted. There are two different words and two different points in that. What happens is what he's saying is that obviously if you don't know who you are, you fall prey to conforming instead of transforming. God died on a cross not so that you could conform and fit into the world. He died on a cross so that you could be marked and set upon a hill, lit, so that the world could see what Jesus did and what he wants to do. Amen? See, if you don't see yourself as his, you won't ever see the truth about yourself. If you don't understand, if you don't see Jesus, you will never see the truth about you. See, that's the problem, is many of us have only heard about Jesus from this platform. And I cannot give you a true, authentic description of who Jesus really is in 40 minutes. And so what happens is, what we do is we settle for what the pastor tells us we are. But what if I told you this morning that you're worthless and I don't even know why you shouldn't even come to church? You know what you did last week? Then you would identify as that. The problem is that's why the word of God is so important, because it has the promises, it has our identity, it has our DNA structure in it, and it tells us who we are. I could be telling you all kinds of things this morning. You would buy into it. If your identity is skewed, you're going to be like, I just want something. Somebody tell me something. I mean, an orphan will do whatever they can. Even if they get abused, they will do whatever they can for affection, because they just want something. And that's what happens when we conform to the world. We take whatever the world is willing to give us and say, you are successful, or you are this, or you're a failure, or whatever. And we allow those things to label us. See, identity starts with seeing yourself as his possession, not a possession. Big difference, right? One is to be used for, one is just to be used. See, how do you see yourself this morning? Did you come in this morning just saying, well, I'm just a possession. I'm just something that God's going to use and abuse and whatever, and just use me whenever I'm doing good, and whenever I'm doing bad, he'll just throw me away. Some of you have that viewpoint of yourself. But you need to see yourself as his possession, not a possession. Jesus didn't die on a cross to make you a possession of his. Have you ever had something that you just loved and you were like, man, I got to call somebody. I got to show them what I got. Anybody ever got a cool new car and they called them, man, you got to come check this out. Yeah, why? Because it's valuable. Because it's you want to show people what it is. This is Jesus. This is what he did. He died on a cross. He went to hell. He came out of a grave so that he could show off you. Y'all will get that next year. That's the best part of the whole sermon right there. You missed it. We can do a redo if you want. No, that's all right. I'll let you catch the next one. So this is my question. Write this down if you're taking notes, because I want you to answer this over the next week. It's a little homework, all right? School's starting. I figure we'll get you started early. What's causing you to resist giving yourself fully to God? What's resisting you to give yourself fully to God? Because I'm betting that it's going to fall into the identity category. I'm betting it's going to say, well, in this area, I don't trust you because identity issue. So what is keeping you from fully becoming devoted to God? Romans 12:2, it says this: don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you. See that there's a wording, and it says a new person changed by the way you think, period, right? So it's telling you this is what you do, this is what happens. Then you will learn to know God's will, which is good and pleasing and perfect. What's my point is this, is that an identity transformation requires a mind modification. Is that you can't continue to live your Christian life in a world that is not for God and expect yourself to know more about God. If you don't have a mind modification, you will continue to think and live the way that the world tells you God is. And so that's why he says, do not be conformed, but be transformed, right? And so conformity does the very opposite of transformation. Conformity moves away from the original pattern. The original pattern was the moment that you said yes to Jesus, that you would be Christ, in Christ. And so what happens is conformity moves you away from that original pattern and reshapes you and says, no, this is what you are. And so many of you have said yes to Jesus. You wanted to serve Jesus. You wanted to be like Jesus, but you allowed yourself to get into a world. And as you got into this world, you begin to talk like the world. You begin to say the words that are negative about yourself. You begin to talk bad about yourself. You begin to talk bad about other people. You begin to find yourself not taking care of your finances like everybody else. Get what you want to get, buy, do all these things. And you begin to conform your identity in Christ like everybody else. And what you did is you moved farther away from who you really are. That's what he's talking about. You've moved away from who you really are. Have you ever met somebody that, like, man, you've really changed? Well, I mean, I was two then. I mean, you're going to change. You know, that's the thing. We should be changing, but not conforming. This is the difference. Conform means to take on a pattern. It means to take on a pattern. Where I did this thing a few years back. There's a daycare across the street. And I made this cross and I cut it out. And I said, I want every kid, you give this cross to every kid and have them draw around it and then cut it out. And then they have to take that one and do it. And so each one had a new pattern. Whenever I got it back, the cross looked like a tombstone. What's my point? My point is that if you let somebody else cut your pattern, you become what the person's cutting instead of what God says you are. That there is an identity that God has for you, and if you let him cut you, but y'all don't like that, right? That cutting, that pruning, that hurts. But all growth is honored through pruning. Never forget that. All growth is honored through pruning. If you want to grow in your identity, guess what? God's going to cut off what doesn't look like him. God's going to cut off what doesn't look like you. I'm preaching way better than y'all are amening, but that's okay. We're 2 years in. I'm used to it. Transform. This is the deal. Transform means this, to become a completely different pattern. Conform means to take on a pattern. This one means to be cut and be a completely different pattern. So in other words, this is what happens. This is what happens. We get saved and we find the closest person that we know that's a Christian. And how they live, we begin to live like. The only problem with that is they're not the pattern you should be patterning after. They're a piece of the pattern. And so what happens is most of us right now, we are not walking in the God-given identity that we have been given because we are living our lives based on, well, the pastor thinks this way and does this and does that, so I'm going to do that. Well, guess what? I'm not your pattern. And guess what? Your dad isn't your pattern, and your mom isn't your pattern, and your wife isn't your pattern, and the pastor that you listen to on the podcast isn't your pattern. There's one pattern, and it's the pattern of Christ, and Jesus is the pattern. And if you would begin to live in that one, you would begin to walk with a little pep in your step, like, I know who I am. Like, I've been trying to live through all of these other people's eyes and their ideas of me and their things and what they think about me and what I'm going to accomplish and what I'm not going to accomplish. Is that what you're doing? So you have to get in the Word of God. You have to get into a place where you speak to God. And I know you guys have heard this and you're like, man, I know that. But when are you going to start doing it? Is this the first time that you've heard the Word of God this week? Oh, it's so quiet in here. Right? What that tells me is this, is that you haven't searched out who you are this week. Because this is the thing. 2 weeks ago, a week ago, had I not had the mirror at my house and I didn't get back in the mirror, I had this zit on the side of my head. Oh, I'm being too honest with you guys, aren't I? Y'all are gonna be like shaking my hand, like, oh gosh. But this is my point. My point is this, is if I didn't have the mirror, I would have never known that I had this nice, gigantuous zit on the side of my head. What's my point? My point is this, is that many of you have things that are going on internally in your life that the enemy is using, and it looks like this is it on the inside of you. And he's telling you this is what you are. And if you don't look in the mirror, you never know it's there. And you say, wait a minute, that's not me. That's not like me. That's not the identity that I took on. That's not what Christ did for me. And then you can begin to speak to the mindset, the fear, the anxiety, the worry, the insecurity, the inferiority. And you can speak to it. But if you don't get in your word, you can't speak. And I've been reading through Proverbs all this whole month. And all I hear is this, is God gives me wisdom. So the answers that I don't have about building a church and about loving my wife and loving my child and loving my friends and loving the community and loving all these things, thank God that because I don't have that wisdom, I can seek it out and God can give it to me. But if I didn't know that I have access to wisdom in heaven, I would never search it out. And there are things that God has for you that if you would just learn to seek it out, you would be walking in a whole different dimension in your life. Right now, most of you after this church service, if somebody came up and said something about you, it would devastate you because you would probably buy into it. Instead of saying, man, I thank you for that, appreciate that, but that's not who I am. But most of us aren't confident enough to speak back to the devil. We're not even confident enough to speak back to somebody in the natural. We definitely ain't gonna speak to the devil and tell him, bro, good try, but I'm not buying into that. Right? Don't copy the behavior and the customs. Look, where do you get your convictions? Where do you get your standards? Where do you get the things that you choose to live life in? Is it from the person that's closest to you, or is it from God and the voice of what the Lord's speaking to you? See, living in your purpose, it will require you to know your true self. Most of us, we don't like our true self. If we're honest, we do not like true self. True self is the person that God made you. True self is the one that had to walk through being abused. True self is the one that had to walk through some pain and some storms. That we could either let the God allow us to get us through these things, or we can label ourselves as I've been abused, I'm a victim. And there are so many people who are living a defeated life simply because they've bought into the lie. They've become a part of the behavior and the customs of this world. Well, it's just a terrible world, and you probably just deserve it. It's not what my Bible says. This is not what my Bible tells me I am. But my Bible tells me I'm the head and I'm not the tail. I'm above and I'm not beneath. That I am an overcomer. So my Bible tells me. We all say, yeah, man, amen, right? But what's the devil telling you that's contrary to that? What identity marks you right now? What is marking you as worthless, as not good enough, or never going to measure up, or I'm a failure, or I'm this, or I'm that? What are those things that are making you right now misidentify who you are? You've got to change the way you think. And the only way you can change what you think is by what you read. It's by what you hear God speak to you. Look, we all make mistakes. We've all had some decisions that we are not the proudest of. But move on. Get over it. Let the voice of God comfort you. Re-identify you. Say, man, son, I know that was a rough week, but we're going to get through it. When's the last time you heard the Father speak to you like that? Because he wants to. Imagine that as much negativity is that you are really pathetic at work and you were this, that God wants to speak over his beloved. He wants to speak over who you are. Man. I mean, you don't have to go very far to get bad news. Right? It's not hard. It's really hard to find out who you are from somebody else. Verse 3, because of the privilege and the authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Notice what he says. I give you this warning. Because see, this is the other side of identity, is when you misidentify who you really are. When you think about where you've come from, I used to be a homeless guy and now this is where I'm at. You didn't get there because of you. You aren't that good. But this is what the Bible's telling us. It says, don't think you are better than you really are. So see, there's this side of insecurity power, but then there's this side of pride power. And guess what? They both have the same goal, to keep you away from Jesus. That is the goal. Insecurity, the whole point of insecurity is to keep you from at a distance from God, saying, I'm not worthy to be in his presence. Pride, I don't need his presence. Neither one of those are good, church. I mean, do you know what I've accomplished? Do you know who I am? Say, no, no. I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest. Be honest with yourself. I mean, when's the last time you've been honest with yourself? Woo! I'm gonna be stinking. Let me go brush my teeth. When's the last time you looked in the mirror and said, man, that's getting pretty out of control. That's a big one. Better do something about it. I mean, don't be acting like you got, I don't got anything in my teeth and you just had spinach. You know you got something in your teeth. Like, be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. You're like, man, I've been a little about me. It's been about Brian's world. Elmo's world. Ever seen it? It's a pretty big deal. My daughter loves it. I don't like it because he steals my daughter time. Elmo's world. What's your world? Evaluate. Be honest with yourself. God, I don't really need you right now. I got skills. I'll get my own job. God, I don't really need you right now. I'll get my own girl. Get my own bae. Be honest with yourself. Where have you pushed God out because you think you can do it yourself? Reevaluate. Recalculate. Then it goes on and it says this. This is what I love. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourselves by what? The faith God has given us. Do you know what? That Steve Jobs, we all know Steve Jobs, right? He's no longer with us. I understand that. But we all know who he is because most of you have the piece of technology that he invented in your pocket. And if you don't, you need to get caught up and get rid of your Androids. I'm just kidding. But this is the point. The point is this, is that faith that he's talking about is called the cross. And Steve Jobs needed it, and the homeless person under the bridge down the street needed the same faith. My point is this, is that you don't evaluate yourself by what you have accomplished or what you haven't accomplished. You evaluate yourself by what Jesus did for you. And when you do that, then you can always identify yourself, whether you're in pride, you can say, whoa, 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 hold on, the cross got me where I'm at. And whenever you're homeless, you say, the cross is going to get me where I'm going. All right, y'all almost there. What's my point? This is my point. Misidentifying yourself is the result of misidentifying Christ's position in your life. If you don't understand the position that God has in your life, you will always misidentify your own life. You will miss it. You will sit in your bed at 85 years old wondering what was this life for, misidentifying yourself. See, I believe that many of us are living restricted lives simply because we don't know who we are in Christ. Restricted. We have access to a kingdom. Right? A kingdom. But if you don't know who you are, you will never access it. You will never go after it. You will never seek him because you don't feel you're good enough. You don't feel you're worthy enough. And you allow what everybody else says to mark you. You allow what everybody else has done to identify you, and they mark you and they label you either successful, failure, middle class. You allow everybody else to label you. See, the thing with pride is this, is that pride keeps you at a distance from God because you don't think you need him. See, as much as insecurity works to try to keep you at a distance, pride does the same thing because it makes you feel like you don't need him. Right now, some of us have identified, man, I've had a good life. I've had good things going on. I mean, Jesus, it's been like 10 years since things have been really bad. So you've caught yourself identifying with the successes of life, and you've probably walked away from God. You don't know it. Maybe, yeah, you still apply him to your life every now and again. You show up to church, but how much do you apply him in the rest of your life? This is my point, is that if you have a confidence of who you are in Christ, then it's never just about what God is doing for you. It's about you finding people that you can let them understand what he did for them. See, there's nothing better than when somebody, you know, maybe it's something that you do for your job, or you do something, and somebody sees it and they say, man, I want you to know. And they say whatever it is, and you're like, man. Right? This, do you understand that God wants you to have the identity of who you are in Christ so that you can open up and you can reveal to other people their identity in Christ? That this thing isn't about what you are not or what you are. This is about the person that God's going to bring to you in your cubicle this week, at the gas station this week, at the grocery store this week. And you're going to say, man, I feel like I need to let them know who they are. Look, I want you to know that you are loved, and I don't know what's going on in your world. And you could say it however you want, but you've got to be able to identify them. You are called to mark people for Jesus.